Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Euskaltel First Quarter 2018 Results Presentation Investors Call. The management of Euskaltel will run you through the presentation materials that can be found at Euskaltel's website, which will be followed by a Q&A session. You can send your questions through the webcast platform at any time during the presentation. I am now pleased to introduce Mr. Francisco Arrese, CEO of Euskaltel. Please, sir, go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone. Good morning to those joining from the U.S. Welcome to the presentation of our Q1 2018 results. I'm Francisco Arrese, CEO of Euskaltel, and I'm here together with our CFO, Jonander de las Fuentes, as well as Aitor Marcaida, our Head of Investor Relations. Today, we will walk you through the key highlights of the quarter that show how we are progressively meeting our objectives. After which, I will go through our operating performance, and Jonander will summarize the financial results. Following those remarks, we'll host a Q&A session. Before we start with the presentation, I would just like to highlight that last year's main concerns regarding our customer base are evolving positively. This is a result of specific internal actions which we have implemented that are already bearing their fruit and will also help us to be better prepared for the future. Let me now start with the presentation on page two. I would like to start by walking you through our commitment for 2018 that we established at the time of our 2017 results call, and that we have fulfilled in this quarter. We have been able to stabilize residential fixed net adds in the group, reducing churn in all markets. This is a result of different elements, including the unification of business intelligence across the group, implementing best practices between the brands, the continuous improvement of our network to DOCSIS 3.1, a better leverage of data allowances, the move of all the Galician installed base to 4G, or the deployment of the new Android TV 4K set-top box. With regards to B&B, we can say today that we are becoming a stronger service partner for corporations, which during the first quarter of 2018 allowed us to keep the positive path of growth that we started in the previous quarter for the first time in years. We're also proud to say that the expansion plan we presented at our Investor Day last November is today a reality in Navarra. Day after day, we're increasing not only our footprint but also our presence through new stores or the recently signed sponsorship with the main local football team in the region, Osasuna. Euskaltel's brand has been very well received in the region as expected, and Navarra has already contributed positive net subscriber adds this quarter. With regards to CapEx, we already announced that 2018 and 2019 would reflect our expansion plan and the required investments to integrate the three companies into a unique platform, which are already delivering efficiencies. Therefore, as expected, the CapEx during the first quarter of 2018 reached 19.2% of revenue. Turning to page three, let me now summarize our main financial figures and KPIs in the quarter. With regards to financial data, I would refer to statutory data in this slide since the Telecable numbers were not included in our accounts until August 2017. For comparative purposes, we will refer to pro forma data during the remaining presentation. Our total revenue grew by 26.6% in the first quarter, up to 176.6 million euros. Our EBITDA in the period reached 84.2 million euros, growing by 23.8% year-on-year and implying a margin of 47.7%. Our operating cash flow amounted to 50.3 million euros, standing at 28.5% of revenue. Now, if we were to consider the operating cash flow obtained from our underlying operations, that is, excluding our entrance in Navarra, it should be highlighted that we stood at 31.5% of revenue. Finally, the net income grew in the period 10.9%, up to 14.6 million. Residential KPIs improved, as explained previously, versus the last quarter of 2017. Fixed subscribers grew by more than 600 in the period, confirming the change in trend that was committed during our Investor Day last November. At the same time, churn was reduced by more than 180 basis points from 17.4% at the end of last year to 15.6% at the end of March. ARPU grew by 0.6% to 60.4 from a 60.0 in statutory terms at the end of 2017. And finally, I would like to highlight the good evolution that RGUs demonstrated during the quarter, growing by around 25,000 and therefore confirming a successful bundling and upselling strategy. Specifically, I would highlight the good performance of our fixed broadband customers that grew in the period at an annualized pace close to 3%, which is the expected growth of the Spanish broadband market for 2018. So let's now move to slide 5. Starting with the operating review on page 5, and as mentioned before, I'm glad to say that we have been able to maintain our fixed residential customer base this quarter in our traditional markets, and at the same time, start to add new customers coming from our expansion in Navarra. As you can see in the main chart, 2017 was a tough year in terms of customer losses that were mainly explained by certain one-off impacts. We said that once these non-recurrent impacts were resolved, we would deliver positive net adds. Therefore, I can reconfirm today that the evolution seen during 2017 was extraordinary. In fact, current trading data in April confirms the good evolution seen during the first quarter of the year. On the next slide, the idea I would like to stress is that during this quarter, we have been able to reduce churn to the lowest level in the last 15 months, standing at 15.6% at the end of March. As mentioned before, the changes established within business intelligence along the group, together with some other strategic initiatives, are proving to be effective. At the same time, our core markets are behaving more rationally than last year, with the operators increasing prices. Year on year, our ARPU grew by 0.6% up to 60.4 euros, despite two negative impacts on the period. First, as you may recall, on third quarter 2017, we eliminated the main match of the week from Telecable's subscriber base, which meant a reduction in the ARPU of 0.4 euros. And secondly, regulation regarding mobile termination rates impacted negatively the ARPU in the period by 0.1 euros. All in all, the ARPU would have grown in the year by 1.5% if these two impacts had not taken place. On page 7, we show the results of our bundling and upselling strategy. Our 3P, 4P penetration remains in sector high levels, with 68.6% of our subscribers on 3P and 4P bundles. As a result, we ended this quarter reaching all-time high penetration levels in every single product category. Broadband subs as a percentage of total subs increased slightly during the first quarter to 85.4%. With regards to mobile, we added more than 18,000 lines in the quarter to reach 933,000 lines, moving mobile penetration among our fixed subscriber base from 77% in the previous quarter to 79% in this one. I previously mentioned that our fixed broadband growth was aligned with that of the market. In the case of mobile, we clearly outperformed the expected growth in the year, having reached an annualized growth close to 8%. TV penetration also increased during the period to 69%, growing TV RGUs by more than 6,000 up to 399,000. Our advanced 4K Android set-top box, launched during 2017, is definitely helping us make our TV offer more attractive. From Q2 onwards, we expect growth in this segment thanks to new functionalities that will be offered to our TV customers that already include the smooth integration of Netflix in our user interface, with a communication campaign kicking off soon and the Netflix button being included in our remote controls. Moving on to page 8, let me give you a brief overview of the B2B segment evolution in the quarter. Starting with SOHO, as you can see in the top left chart, during this first quarter, there was a slowdown in the decline of the net adds versus previous quarter. Regarding ARPU on the chart below, the situation was similar to what happened in the residential segment. All in, ARPU decreased around 1% in the period to 68.3 euros, while excluding the impact of football and regulation, the evolution would have been flat year on year. In SMEs and large accounts, we're clearly noticing the tailwinds resulting from our extended portfolio. As you can see in the chart of the middle, during this first quarter, we have been able to change the negative trend experienced during 2017 in customer evolution. The strategic alliance reached with Microsoft in March has undoubtedly made our offer much more attractive and is bearing clear fruit, such as our first big contract signed with the Basque government that is going to allow us to provide digital services, including cloud via Office 365, to more than 50,000 users in different agencies. We consider this agreement as a first step to reinforce our relationship with the administration. Yonander will explain later on what it entails in financial terms. The next slide is here to share with you our achievement during the quarter around our expansion in Navarra. Since the start of the year, we have been working in fine-tuning technical and IT infrastructure. Similarly, we opened our first store last February 28th, and we have reinforced the presence of Euskaltel's brand in the regional society through the sponsorship of the local football team, Osasuna. To sum up, our plan is evolving as expected, and by the end of March, we already had our first 152 active residential customers. From now onwards, our footprint in Navarra will be accelerated through further mutualization with other internet network and the reinforcement of our commitment with the local community, opening new stores and implementing specific marketing actions. Our confidence in reaching a 20% penetration target in the region by 2022 is high, given our outstanding competitive offer, which includes the best service available today in the market with Wi-Fi AC, Wi-Fi audit, and the most advanced 4K set-top box. Now, Yonander will detail the financial performance we had during the first quarter.
Thank you, Pachi. I will start the top-line evolution in the quarter on page 11. On the left-hand chart, on a pro forma basis, our revenue in the period reached 177 million euros, representing a 0.4% year-over-year increase. Regarding residential revenue, we have included in the slide a bridge that explains the fall in revenues of 2.5% versus same quarter last year. The main impact is the number of residential fixed customers due to the losses we experienced during 2017, hitting the top line negatively by almost 3 million euros. However, as Pachi has explained, we have already stabilized our residential subscribers during the first quarter of 2018. Besides, and despite having increased fixed residential ARPU in the year, this was partially offset by the impacts mentioned before regarding the elimination of the match of the week from our football content in Telecable and regulation on mobile termination rates. All in, the positive impact coming from fixed global ARPU evolution in the year amount to 600,000 euros. It should be taken into account that the impact in ARPU coming from elimination of football content will not achieve normalized in like-for-like terms until the third quarter of 2018. With regards to B2B revenue, we are glad to say that this first quarter of the year we have continued with the positive trend initiated last quarter. As Pachi mentioned before, our number of SMEs and large accounts customers grew in the period for the first time since several quarters. All in, revenue in this segment grew by 2.5% up to 49.3 million euros. It is relevant to highlight that during this quarter, we have had a positive impact of 4 million euros as a result of the signature of a significant agreement with the Basque government for its digitalization. The scope of the contract reached the next 3 years amounting to 12 million euros in revenue at a pace of 4 million euros per year. The corresponding revenue for 2018 has been fully recognized during the first quarter. Finally, wholesale and other revenue grew mainly from the enabler activity and the recognition of on our accounts of IFRS 15 impacting positively by 1.5 million euros. Moving on to slide 12, EBITDA performance was positive in the year, growing by 0.3% to 84.2 million euros. On relative terms, the margin was flat year on year at 47.7%. The group was therefore able to increase EBITDA despite the negative impact coming from the Spanish TV fee that impacted 1.4 million euros that did not affect EBITDA in the first quarter 2017, thanks mainly to synergies realization and additional cost efficiencies. These cost efficiencies as a result of the integration process we are going through, more especially linked to the customer service platforms, back office, customer provision, and customer engineering activities. All in, commercial and overhead costs were reduced in the period by 3.8 million euros or minus 8% year over year. The negative impact of 3.9 million euros we had in customer equipment costs were related to the new contract gain with the Basque Country government explained in the previous slide. On page 13, you can find two charts that explain the evolution of our CAPEX. Total CAPEX in the first 3 months amounted to 33.9 million euros or 19.2% of revenue, as expected, above the group's guidance of 17% due to the expansion and integration plans we will develop during 2018 and 2019. CAPEX, excluding expansion investments during the first quarter 2018, stood at 28.7 million euros or 16.2% of sales. Additionally, we incurred as planned in 5 million euros of CAPEX for our expansion plan. And lastly, I would like to finish on page 14, referring to our cash flow generation in the quarter. The operating cash flow, calculated as EBITDA minus CAPEX in the period, amounted to 50.3 million euros, which represents a 28.5% margin over revenue. If we were to consider just our cash generation capacity, excluding the expansion plan, the margin would have been 31.5%. The free cash flow for equity in the quarter was significantly impacted by non-recurrent items related to the last payments for Telecable acquisition process. Excluding these payments, free cash flow margin grew by 50 basis points to 17.4% of revenue versus last year. Additionally, according to our sustainable shareholder remuneration policy, we distributed a first dividend in February of 12.7 euro cents per share or 22.7 million euros, thus leaving net debt over EBITDA ratio at 4.5 times. And now I will give back the word again to Patxi for him to wrap up the presentation.
Many thanks, Yonander. In summary, this first quarter 2018 results show that we have started to harvest all the work and actions put in place over the last months, both from a commercial and organizational integration side. As a result, we have managed to stabilize our subscriber base and recover growth in B2B revenue. We have successfully launched our expansion plan in Navarra, and we are now looking forward to keeping this momentum over the next quarter. We're confident and optimistic that the transformation we shared at our Investor Day and that we have been implementing since 2017 will make us a much more competitive operator. We have tackled the unification across the company of several areas like customer service, enterprise engineering teams, back office, and field execution. This will allow us to provide a better service, be more agile, and be more efficient. We also keep working to have the best TV experience, leveraging the 4K Android TV set-top box that is proving to deliver high customer satisfaction combined with more interactive TV usage. On top of new services like the integration of OTTs such as Netflix already available within our set-top box. We want to deliver the best broadband experience where we keep progressing on our DOCSIS 3.1 deployment. We're committed to deliver the best Wi-Fi experience at home through the best combination of network capability, customer equipment, and service management. And we want to become the enterprise's best partner in their path to digital transformation. All this combined with a strong focus on long-term sustainability and shareholder value generation will make the core of the management focus. Thank you for your attention, and let's now switch to the Q&A.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Q&A session starts now. If you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. You can also send your questions through the webcast platform. Questions by phone will be answered first. Please keep a maximum of 2 questions at a time. Thank you. The first question comes from Akhil Dattani from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking the questions. Can I maybe start with the residential performance, please? And I guess the two things that I was keen to understand. The first thing is that there's been a bit of controversy around the CMT data that came out in January, which suggested you had a weak start to the year. And then I guess given what you've delivered, improved through the period. Telefonica suggested the data is not particularly accurate. So I guess if you could help us understand how have your KPI trends evolved through the period, what can you tell us about your momentum as you've gone forward? And I guess linked to that on revenues, should we think the decline in revenues of 2.4% in Q1 is the trough and do things get better? Or are there other factors we need to consider when we think about that revenue trajectory? And then on the second thing, I guess it's just a clarification on the comments that were made around the digitalization or digital business contract with the Basque government. I just wanted to check if I understood it correctly. So I guess firstly, is all of that incremental, the 12 million euros off the 3-year contract? And did I understand correctly that you booked the entire 2018 contribution in Q1? And what sort of EBITDA did you generate on the back of that? Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. Regarding residential performance and your question, well, we will not judge or comment on CNMC data quality, but let me give you some texture. January was the month, so we've seen an evolution through the 3 months. So over the 3 months, the best numbers came in February and March. And January was, so to say, a transition period in terms of the performance on net adds. And as I said, April is showing a continuation of that trend. So that's probably a confirmation of what you were suggesting. I think, yes, given the fact that we start the year with a significant number of subscribers less than the ones we had at the beginning of last year, the decline in residential in this quarter is the toughest of the year. From now on, we'll be recovering and closing the gap. And regarding the digital contract with the Basque government, yes, it is all incremental. We value the relevance of the contract because, A, it allows us to make a big leap in terms of working with a partner on the digitalization of their work environment. It's a 3-year contract, and we have booked the full revenues in Q1, yes, and we will not comment on EBITDA margins in specific deals. We do not usually comment on that.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
The next question comes from Nuno Matias from Haitham Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for the questions. They relate mostly to the expansion plan. The first is if you can give us like an update for this year expectations. I mean, How many homes do you expect to cover in Navarra? What's the kind of capex that we should expect in terms of the expansion capex on this footprint expansion? And also, you mentioned obviously that you had other regions on target. Is it too soon to think that you're already thinking about new expansion areas this year, given the early signs of success in Navarra, or is this just something to consider for next year? Thank you.
Thank you, Nuno. So regarding the expansion, just to share some numbers with you, we should be finishing the year reaching around 4,000 additional subscribers coming from expansion. We'll duly separate and split in our reporting what is coming from expansion versus what is coming from the usual business. It is a total of 10 million capex investment in the year, and we should be reaching around 55,000 new homes passed. That's the result of the Navarra expansion. Regarding making moves into new regions, I think what we said in the past is that we wanted to make sure that we're building on successful steps. We, in the first months, we've been setting up the technical capabilities to make sure that we deliver a perfect service in Navarra. It's been a month, so we think we will spend the next 4 months to 5 months fine-tuning and boosting the activities there. And I think around summertime, we'll have a more detailed analysis as to the next step. And I think you could expect next phases of deployment could come late this year or beginning of next year.
Okay, many thanks. And if I may, just a follow-up, I don't know if you can comment on how the expansion has been going on in terms of, are you preferring to do the mutualization or at this stage the indirect access is something that you are also looking at?
So indirect access, mutualization so far remains our preferred option in the case of Navarra. We're likely to start with the OPEX option in other regions. But in Navarra, what we have seen so far is that there's been a good welcome from the consumer base in Navarra. When we talked about reaching a 20% penetration in the next 5 years, we are confident, given the first preliminary data, that will be a fact. So it's giving us more confidence on that evolution.
Okay, very clear. Thanks.
You're welcome.
The next question comes from Julio Arciniegas from RBC. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question. The company posted good KPIs this quarter. However, we are not seeing the benefit on top-line growth as B2C, for example, is declining 2% year-on-year and actually also declining versus Q4. EBITDA was flat, even with synergies. So should we assume that to have better KPIs, the company needs to increase their promotional activity? And also, what has been the reaction from your competitors to the new initiatives that you are having? And my second question is regarding the ARPU in residential. KPIs, they were positive. Service revenue or residential revenue, they were negative. So I assume that actually the ARPU has declined versus Q4. Is this assumption right? ARPU has declined versus Q4? And how, for example, to reconcile that information with the slide 6 that shows that ARPU in residential has been flat. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Julio. Regarding on the good KPIs and the top-line growth, I mean, a certain level of decline is normal when you consider that the starting point of this year compared to the starting point of last year is an OLAP significant decline. As I said before, from now on, as we continue with our net positive adds, that gap is going to be reducing. I think we feel we have the right promotional mix at the moment. When you see the balance between net adds and churn, I think we've been able to control with the right promotional activity. So we're not planning to increase the promotional activity in the coming months or in the coming quarter. Our competitors have had diverse behaviors. I would say that there's a positive element when we hear their public statements saying that there's a focus on value generation and market repair that I think could help overall the market situation. We, within our main competitors that are Telefonica, Vodafone, and Orange, there are the three convergent operators. Probably Vodafone has been the more aggressive, which is not something new. It was also the case last year. And we have seen a reasonable level of activity and promotion from the other competitors. So there hasn't been very aggressive competitiveness, and I think we would expect that this balance should be ongoing. And then regarding the ARPU comment that you're making, I mean, we're always looking to implement more for more strategies. So, and that ARPU is coming from different elements regarding the increase of the number of products that is bought. We're also improving some of the mobile data allowance. We're reinforcing the quality of our network. We're reinforcing the quality of the TV experience. And these elements should be able to help us keep driving a more for more strategy. There will be different steps in the year. So we will be working on how we increase that ARPU through the year. And we'll have a different approach by territory, given the different opportunities that we have seen. So, for example, we've been slightly more cautious in Galicia, given the previous experiences. But as we are regaining momentum and confidence from consumers, it's likely that we start making some moves also in this region. So the ARPU situation that you see in Q1 should be improving in the coming quarters. I don't know if there's anything you want to add there. So, yeah.
Okay, thank you. If I might follow up, I understand that the base was lower 1 year ago. So yeah, it has to revenue has to decrease year on year, but anyway, since slide 11, actually residential ARPU has dropped versus Q4, but actually the subscriber base is higher. So that's what I don't get on the ARPU evolution. So it seems like actually there's been more pressure in ARPU.
But Julio, as we explained during the presentation, obviously we have some impacts in our global ARPU now with the evolution. On one hand, by the termination tariffs on interconnection that have impact during this first quarter of this year, and additionally, the decrease in terms of football subscribers in Telecable have had an additional impact on that. No? As I said before, we are going to have some of those impacts till the third quarter of 2018, above all the impact related to the football. But as Apache said before, the forecast is to reinforce and to see a better evolution of the ARPUs during the next quarters.
Okay, thank you for taking that question. Thanks.
The next question comes from Fernando Cordero from Banco Santander. Please go ahead.
Hello, good morning, good afternoon. I have two questions. A follow-up on the Basque government contract, and particularly not on the revenues, on the costs. You have highlighted in your OPEX performance that customer agreement has driven a material increase in the OPEX, 3.9 million euros, and are largely related with this Basque government contract. I would like to know if those costs are going to be recurrent in the coming quarters or years of the contract with the Basque government, or if those costs are just as a startup cost of the contract. And the second question is related also on the corporate segment related with Soho. Soho segment continues to post some decreases in terms of NERAS as well as in terms of ARPU. I would like to know what are your views or if you are expecting to implement any kind of new offer or whatever in this segment in order to turn around the performance. Thank you.
Fernando, answering to the first question, it's true that in those big contracts and long contracts, we have an initial impact to provide some equipment and devices, and in that sense, we have been fully impacted for all the costs related to those to this contract. All the impact that we are going to suffer in 2018 has been accounted in the first quarter, and it's included. And this is the reason because we have the negative deviation that we have. Including our presentation related to this item.
Yeah, normally I think the way this kind of contract evolves is like on top of that we build additional services that improve the overall profitability, and over time, as the investment has been initially made, profitability tends to improve in the coming years or months, but in this case it will be in the coming years. And talking about Soho, I think the dynamics in Soho have been relatively similar to the residential market. The change is being slower than what we are seeing in residential. So it's an area of deep work for us. We expect the final outcome in net adds at the end of the year is going to be positive. So I think the focus of the company this quarter has been more about the recovery of the residential net adds momentum. We're working deeply on Soho, both from a commercial side, but also from a product offering. There are new offers and new bundles that are coming specifically to the Soho segment that will be hitting the market in the coming months.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The next question comes from Ricard Boada from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my questions. First of all, congratulations for a good set of numbers. I think that this is the second quarter where we've had a strong and positive revenue growth in B2B. Can you maybe discuss here what is your ambition or what is the total addressable opportunity in this segment? Related to that, during the Capital Markets Day, you announced that you would start to target clients outside your own northern footprint across the whole geography in Spain. Can you maybe comment some on how of these 58 net adds that you've had in the SME and large accounts are coming? Where are they coming from, geographically speaking? And then secondly, in Galicia, are you recovering some of the lost customers when you had the MVNO migration incident as the 12-month promotion from some of your competitors are starting to roll off? And if so, I mean, should we expect this trend to boost the net adds going forward in the year? Thanks so much.
Thank you very much. So yes, it is the second quarter we're growing in B2B. I think what I would say in the B2B space is we are building a strong pipeline. So the B2B space, and particularly SME and large accounts, require more time usually than Soho or the customer residential to see a reaction. We have a very strong pipeline of companies. Some of these companies are within our region. Some of them are beyond our region. As you remember, we already have a significant list of companies outside of our region where we are delivering services across Spain. So that's going to remain our focus. We are seeing a strong interest in some of these companies when we approach them, not just offering voice and data, but rather trying to help on certain solutions that they require. Unfortunately, I cannot comment on the specific pipeline. What I can say is that on top of the new companies that we are adding, we're seeing a second element that, in my opinion, is very positive, which is the strong renewals of the existing contracts and renewals that are keeping the same or higher business revenues and business EBITDA. So I think the addition of the two elements will make it that during the year we'll be seeing different deals, relevant deals, coming. It's a little bit difficult to predict whether it will be Q2, Q3, Q4. I think it's going to be a mix of different elements, but that's going to be a positive trend. The other question you asked was on Galicia. The answer is yes. We are seeing the recovery of some of the customers we lost. It's one of our targets and one of our priorities. When you look at our competitors, we're basically winning on net adds versus most of our competitors. So I think that positive trend that we see now, as I said, when I said that April also showing good trend, it's also showing a good trend in Galicia, so we expect that to be sustained over the year.
Thanks so much. If I have, I may have like one follow up regarding the nature of your net adds share. We've seen that in the data that has been reported by Telefónica and Orange, their combined broadband losses have widened from about 10,000 in Q4 to about 20,000 in Q1. Is this the source of your share, or is it also like Vodafone as well?
Most of our new customers, so the net, the positive net adds that we are getting, are coming from Telefónica and from Orange. The number that we're getting from Vodafone is slightly lower. Sorry,
okay,
it's slightly negative.
Thanks so much. That's very, very clear.
Okay.
The next question comes from Ivonne Leal from BBVA. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Good morning, everybody. Just maybe following up on what Michael was just asking, because I don't really understand what's driving the turnaround on subscribers. So first one, is Galicia the only region driving the turnaround, or we're also seeing a market improvement in Asturias and the Basque Country?
So the turnaround is happening everywhere. In the months of February and March, all three regions are strongly positive. In the whole quarter, both Telecable and Euskaltel are strongly positive. The only month, and we have mentioned before, January was slightly a transition period. So I think the trend is basically good and strong everywhere. I think what we are seeing is, as I said before, the result of the different elements that we have put in place that start with the business intelligence and the efficiency of the business intelligence actions that we're putting in place. The fact that, for example, in the specific case of Galicia, we've moved everyone to 4G, We're seeing the traction of the new Android set-top box and the improvement in the quality as we deploy DOCSIS 3.1 and we improve the install base of the CPEs that are in our residential base.
And actually, throughout 2017, and especially in Galicia, Vodafone was the guy, you know, putting more pressure. I don't know how that has performed, how that has performed throughout the first quarter, because when I look at the numbers on a national basis, it looks like Vodafone is the guy losing subs everywhere. Are we seeing a commercial reaction now in April or beginning of May from those guys?
So what I commented before is when you look at the aggressivity of the different competitors, the one that is being particularly aggressive or over-aggressive is Vodafone, with specific offers that go beyond what I think is being offered in other regions. So it's probably our biggest competitor and challenge today. We have a more balance with the rest of the competitors. So it was a challenge last year. It hasn't changed this year. As I said, particularly in the Basque Country, we build ad hoc plans to try to boost our retention policies in this case. We are doing the same right now. That has minimized or reduced the problem, but it's still the area where our net adds are still slightly negative.
Okay. And maybe the last one, Pachi, should we be concerned about this race to, you know, offer everybody like 1 gig speed on the broadband, which nobody uses, but, you know, how concerned we should be about this? I think Telefónica is having speeds now.
Yeah, so what we have seen in our customer satisfaction surveys is that, often customers do not care or realize about this speed that is required. I think what they value and the main dissatisfaction when you talk about broadband experience is not usually coming, and this applies probably to the whole market, from that speed, but rather how it translates into the experience at home. And sometimes you can see that for a customer, it is more important to have an excellent experience with the Wi-Fi that is installed at home rather than whether they're getting 150, 300, or 500 gigabits per second. That is why, as I explained before, we are reinforcing and accelerating the renewal of our CPEs to having AC CPEs. We are accelerating and we've put in place audits at home to ensure that the coverage in the home of the Wi-Fi reaches every room in the home. That's what we're doing in every new installation that we do. And we are offering this to our high-end customers everywhere. So I think it's a combination. So no, we're not concerned about the one gig. When we look at the patterns of behavior, the two things that we see is yes, download content is increasing. The upload is not only not increasing, but rather almost like decreasing, and probably the challenge or the key to the experience is coming from that in-home experience.
Okay, thank you very much, Pachi.
The next question comes from Giovanni Montalti from UBS. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I have heard your, positive comments about the B2B segment, so I guess you are not seeing new competition coming from the likes of Voda or Orange that now have a more, infrastructure presence in the region. I wonder why do you see this as a threat for the future? so more competition from the guys that have today stronger infrastructure there. Thank you.
On B2B, well, I'm not dismissing the fact that there will be competition from other players. There will be. I think we have a unique advantage, which is one of our key company values, that is the proximity. We have historically seen that the ability for customers to have a better service with and a better response has been one of our key advantages. And that is a fact that we see in every meeting that I have with these customers. So I think that is going to be one of the key things. The second element is I think we're probably more agile and open to work with different partners, and we're setting a partner map so that we can pick and work with the best in each of the areas that they need to be able to provide the best service. We're quite agnostic in terms of who we partner with to deliver them the best services, whether we talk about IoT, whether we talk about big data, AI, or any of the services that they are delivering. There's another element, which is the proximity of the data centers. That is an element that is valued by some of our B2B customers. So all up, we are building and developing our capabilities to be able to provide more sophisticated solutions. We do not need to invent a lot of them. We need to make sure that we partner with the best in each of these solutions. And that is proving today a significant advantage in our engagement with the customers.
And sorry, sorry, if I may take the second question. I understand from your comments that you expect basically a gradual improvement on residential revenues in terms of phasing during 2018. So I just wanted to understand if you can help us understand a bit more what is the idea of the phasing during the year for residential revenues and for the evolution of the cost base, in particular looking at the items that you have broken down very well in slide 12. If there's any significant discontinuity that we have to consider for the coming quarters versus what you have showed in Q1. Thank you.
Yeah, so I think there will be a gradual improvement. Like I said, January was probably the month in Q1 that was slightly a transition month. From there on, the trend seems to be confirmed as strong. So I think you could expect a gradual improvement on one side of the net adds. On the second side, the ARPU is something that we are phasing through the year. Some elements will change and will be impacted in Q2 as some of the historical promotions phase out. We're also considering some more for more movements before the summer. I think you will be seeing the impact of those gradually being reflected in the ARPU for the year.
Sorry, but does this mean that you expect the full year revenues to be eventually positive or just to turn positive eventually in one quarter?
I think full year revenues on residential will be flat, kind of flat, excluding expansion.
Thanks. And sorry, if you can on the cost base.
So what do you mean by the cost base?
No, sorry, I was referring to slide 12. You have showed the evolution of EBITDA, looking at the delta contributed by the revenues and the evolution of direct costs, commercial and overhead. And then you break down the direct costs by different elements, the mobile host, TV content, tax, customer equipment, and so on. I was just wondering if you can help us understand what could be the, let's say, direction of these elements in the coming quarters. Should we expect these similar trend? Is there a potential improvement? Is there a deterioration in terms of year-on-year comp of these elements? Thank you.
No, Giovanni, the forecast is to improve quarter by quarter, as we said before, and above all, with the extraordinary impact of the cost, the old equipment and devices linked to the Basque government new contract, obviously, or EBITDA margin has been deteriorated, and we our forecast is to have a good performance and recuperate quarter by quarter for the rest of the year.
Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no further questions in the conference call. I now give back the word to the company. Thank you.
Yeah, so thank you very much. I think I would say as a close, I would reiterate that this quarter is a confirmation of the trends we said at Investor Day and when we presented 2017 results. We've managed to stabilize subscriber base. We've managed to recover growth in B2B. We've launched the expansion plan with success. I think what is key now, and you all know, is that we're looking forward to keep that momentum and prove it over the next quarters. We're also confident, all up, that the transformation that we shared in the Investor Day and that we have been implementing in 2017 will make us a much more competitive operator in the future. So thanks a lot for your attention. Thanks for your participation and the questions. And we will remain in touch via our investor relations team. Have a good day, everyone.